even though their own studies show that there is a difference. Now, what about the crops? They're the most well-known. Well, the FDA in 1992 put out their policy. And the policy states, the agency is not aware of any information showing that these foods differ in any meaningful or uniform way. It gives the impression that hundreds of scientists went out looking for differences and couldn't find any. And on the basis of this statement, they said, no testing necessary. No long-term safety testing, no short-term safety testing, no notification necessary. Which means if you create a genetically modified food in your basement laboratory, you can sell it in the United States without telling the Food and Drug Administration. And that is the basis of U.S. policy, and it's been repeated over and over again by U.S. trade representatives and senators and congressmen and ambassadors. However, a colleague of mine pioneered a lawsuit against the FDA. Tens of thousands of documents were made public. And what did it say? The compliance officer, summarizing all of the submissions by the scientists there, said, It is the understanding of the technical experts of the agency that these foods are different and lead to different risks. In direct contrast to the statement by policy. In fact, they listed those risks. They said it could give rise to hard to detect and unpredictable allergies, increase of existing toxins, introduction of new toxins, gathering of toxins from the environment, bioaccumulation of toxins in milk and meat, nutritional problems, new diseases, antibiotic-resistant diseases. They urged their superiors to require long-term safety studies. Their superiors, however, were not scientists. They were political appointees under direction from the White House to promote the biotechnology industry. And the person in charge of policy, who was his position had recently been created for him to be the person in charge of policy during the time that the FDA was looking at genetically engineered foods and drugs, was Michael Taylor, former attorney to Monsanto. He later became a senior person at the United States Department of Agriculture, working on biotech issues, and later became vice president for Monsanto. This is not uncommon. The current Secretary of Agriculture was on the board of Calgene. Now, Calgene is a subsidiary of Monsanto. And Calgene has an interesting history. They introduced the very first genetically modified crop to be reviewed by the FDA. And they did something different than any company has done since. They submitted detailed data to the FDA. See, if a company since then wanted to participate in the FDA's voluntary consultation, they can just choose whatever information they want, summarize it, give it to the FDA. If the FDA asks for further information, they're typically ignored. It's not required. Then they get a letter saying Monsanto believes its foods are safe. It doesn't say the FDA believes the foods are safe. It says Monsanto believes the foods are safe. But Calgene did something different. They gave animal feeding studies for their Flavor Saver tomato fed to rats. Actually, the rats refused to eat the tomato. I think they missed a great marketing opportunity here. Don't you? I mean, are rats eating your tomatoes? Try our tomatoes. Even the rats won't eat them. In fact, eyewitness reports all over North America show that when given a choice, animals avoid eating genetically modified foods. Cows, pigs, geese, elk, raccoon, deer, mice, and rats. So my job is to get humans up to the level of animals. Well, they force-fed these rats the genetically modified tomato. Several developed stomach lesions, bleeding stomachs. 7 out of 40 died within 2 weeks. The tomato was approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Memos describe the statements by the scientists, whoever, which says this does not show a reasonable certainty of no harm. And the superiors approved it.